We have hit that time on a Thursday. We get our view from the north. Find his work for Comcast Sportsnet Online, CSNNW.com. He's talking Ducks. Follow along on Twitter, the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know, I was just thinking, I've been coming on with you for a few years now, and you've been playing Beat It for a couple of years every time I come on, and I wonder if your listeners on a Thursday are trained now to either A, turn the channel, or turn the radio off when they hear Beat It, or if they're like, ooh, I better stay in my car a little longer. Fentress is coming on. I would love to see a poll on that.
Well, first of all, let's get one thing straight. If they're staying on through me for the first hour, you got to figure they're going to at least hang for you for 10 minutes or so.
Maybe. But this could be like a bathroom break time. Like, oh, right when Beat It comes out, oh, bathroom break.
Actually, people are really creatures of habit. I mean, I hear some of our bumper music, and it's almost like a comfort zone. You know, they say sound, smell, they trigger your memory. So I'm going to look at the positive here. And despite it being you, I'm thinking people are staying.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I appreciate that.
But by the way, is there anybody, fan, media member, stadium worker, coach, or player, looking more forward to the end of spring practice than you?
Oh, I bet the players. I don't know, man. I've just been so bad this spring. I've just been mailing it in mentally. It's just so boring.
You're saving yourself for August and September when it matters.
I guess. I think so. I don't know why. You got a new coaching staff. They open practices a little bit, you know. But it's just, I think I've just done like 15 spring practices, and I'm just like, oh, God.
You sound overly thrilled, Fentress.
It's a bad attitude.
Nice done. Of course, you're the guy who I think it was in the 2012 season. They were beating Arizona like 49-0. They had won their first three games by like a combined 908-6. And Aaron sits high up. He comes down and goes, I'm bored.
I really remember that. You know, I was sitting there, I was like, I'm bored.
It was classic. Oh, man. All right. Let's get back to a semblance of sanity. The Blazers. Okay. And we won't discuss Olshea versus Canzano Super Fight 1.
God.
I thought you had a great response to some of the fans who seemed to think that, like, management let LeBron, Durant, and John Wall walk away. You took us back to the gutted season when they lost Aldridge, Batum, Lopez. You know, in essence, what is reasonable to expect from them at this point, 2 years later?
Well, it's funny. So the first thing that trips me out is people get mad over it. They gave Crab $70 million, and they million and Leonard 10 a year and Harkless. And it's like, do you understand salary cap and how it works? You know, when you have space, if you don't spend it and you have other contracts that are going to increase, like Lillard and McCollum, you lose that money. You can spend over the cap for your own guys, right?
Right.
So you either spend it or lose it. And so it was either re-sign Crab or lose him, or sign Turner and lose that cap space. So I'd rather have Crab and Turner than no space, because they're not bad players. They're just not great players. They're not going to help you beat, you know, the Warriors unless they're your seventh, eighth man, not your four and fifth best player, or five,
right,
fifth, or six. And so people are freaked out about that. And then the other thing is, like, it's not your money. Like, you know, it's not like they spent your money. If Paul Allen wants to go into luxury tax and do what they're doing, and that's on him, so why do you worry about it? So that trips me out. And then the other thing is, people forget 2 years ago this team got gutted. It got absolutely gutted, and Vegas had them winning 25.5 or 26 games last season.
Sure.
And they overachieved. I believe they overachieved. And then this year, they were about the same. The only thing they added was Turner. Why would you expect all of a sudden they're going to win 50-plus because they added Turner, who was a bench guy for Boston? It didn't make any sense. So I would argue that if you're realistic, you look back at where this team was two summers ago, if I would have told you that over the next 2 years, you're going to be in the playoffs twice, C.J. McCollum will develop into a star, and you will fleece Denver for a really good big man by giving up Mason Plumlee and get back a first-round pick, you'd have told me I was an idiot. But here we are. So be happy where they are and move forward with the have three strong draft picks. So I think the Blazers are in good position to make a move trade-wise, but maybe dump a middling player to get a good player from a franchise that's looking to move on from a higher contract of a guy that maybe they just want to get rid of because they know they can't contend with him in the next couple of years. And then you got the draft picks to entice people as well. Who knows what you can get? And then you can be really good the next coming year. So I think they're fine.
All right. Continue with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sportsnet. One quick playoff note. Despite some issues, they lost the one seed to the Celtics. Cavs swept. Golden State had the Durant injury, the illness with their head coach, swept. I know you've been known to place a wager, so if I told you, here's 10 grand, even money, are you betting Cavs Warriors in the finals or other?
Cavs Warriors. I don't think anyone can stop the Cavs in the East. I think with Durant in the West, the San Antonio series would be interesting, but I think not having that Duncan presence, you know, that Mr. Assured, guaranteed he's going to hit a bank shot from 13 feet in the clutch, not having that will prevent them from being able to beat a team as good as the Warriors. So, I would put my money on those two playing in the finals for sure.
All right. Let's get to Oregon basketball. And the story during this since North Carolina beat them, they must have seen a poltergeist in Phoenix because everybody got scared away from the program. But so with who remains, a strong recruiting class, some open spots, what's your level of confidence after seeing what Dana Altman is capable of? Now, I'm not talking about going to the Elite Eight, Sweet 16. I'm talking that they can, you know, finish in the upper third of the Pac-12 and maybe be in the tournament picture next year.
It's hard to say because there's so many mysteries. You know, can Peyton Pritchard handle more of an offensive burden? Yes, they have a big time 5-star kid coming in that everyone's saying is going to be a future 1st-round pick. But is he going to be more of a Malik Harrison who needs some time to develop, or a Dorsey who's good but not that great? Can they get the McCoy kid? If they get him, who's a top 15 player, that gives them a big man, and now you have two freshman elite 5-star kids. Again, are they going to be first-year dominant, or are they going to need a couple years, and are they going to stay a couple years? So I think there's a lot of mysteries. Plus, you know, Keith Smith, what is he?
Sure.
Cage, what is he? I mean, there's just so many unknowns. So I'm going to say that with the talent they have and with Altman's ability to coach, and if they get Elijah, I think it's Elijah Brown, not the guard from New Mexico, is that right?
Troy Brown? The one they have already?
Is he already in?
Yeah.
Elijah Brown?
Troy Brown.
Okay. No. Elijah Brown, the transfer.
Never mind. I'm thinking of the other guy. You're good.
Yeah.
And by the way,
Elijah Brown visited. I know he's got a few other programs he's looking at. But they get him to have a veteran presence and scoring. Plus, you got Paul White, too. That kid, the guy from Georgetown, had transferred in. So there's a lot of pieces there. I think they're going to have 6 or 7 four-star recruits and a 5-star. And then you got the veteran in Brown if he comes in. So, yeah, there's some talent to work with. But I would say, at best, maybe they win a tournament game next year. I think they're going to be too young. You know, some people say, look at Kentucky. Well, Kentucky's had years where they've had 5 of the top 30 recruits in the nation and didn't make the tournament, right?
Right.
So it's not like you can compare yourself to Kentucky because you might have one, or you're going to have one and might have 2 of the top 15 recruits. Kentucky does that every year, and they didn't go to Final Four last year. They almost did. But so I would say win a tournament game this year for sure. I think they definitely make the tournament. And then if they can keep everyone around, if they can keep Brown around, if he's not a one-and-done or McCoy's not a one-and-done, that next year, if everyone's had a year under Altman and playing together, then I think they can make another serious run to at least the Elite Eight. Yes, I do.
By the way, McCoy committed to UNLV.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
What was that?
Day before yesterday, right?
Night
before last. Yeah, you were busy watching the Cubs.
Ducks fans were acting like that was a lock.
Yeah, the rumor was it was down to them in Michigan State. Then I read it's 80% chance he's coming to Oregon. When some of those guys who are a little too nutty about recruiting, it's like, don't tell me that a 17, 18-year-old is 80% about anything.
Okay, when I mentioned last week, I think it was last week, last week I tweeted that the Ducks had been decimated and they're going to need time to rebuild. People were coming at me about they're going to have McCoy and Brand. You can go back to signing for you know what you're talking about. But they don't get McCoy. So.
Was that the voice they were using?
Exactly. That's everyone's Twitter voice, and they disagree with me. Okay. That's what I hear you in.
That's awesome. Let's move along with Aaron Fentress of Comcast Sports. Oregon football. I know you're a big Justin Herbert guy. So you look at their offensive line coming back. Freeman in the backs, a year under his belt. The arsenal available to him. I get this is such one of those very general spring questions, but how big of a 2017 you think this kid is capable of as a sophomore?
Justin?
Yeah.
Sorry, I lost you for a second. Yeah. I still think this guy has 40 touchdown passes written all over him. I think he's that kind of quarterback. He had 19 seven starts last year as a true freshman. I think Taggart likes to go deep. They got some good speed receivers. I think Taggart might ask him to run more than maybe he was asked to last year because Taggart likes to have a running quarterback. We saw that with Flowers in South Florida, although Taggart's not a fool. He knows he's not going to run Herbert into the ground, especially when he's such an elite passer. So I do think there'll be running opportunities. He'll score some rushing touchdowns, but I think his best strength is going to be sitting in that pocket and picking people apart. I do wonder about depth at receiver. I think that could hurt a little bit in terms of not having the weapons the same Mario I had in 2014 when you had, like, six guys who looked like they were just absolutely amazing. But I do think I don't think there's a competition. I think Justin Herbert wins this competition with Travis Johnson, and I think he's a superstar quarterback who gets drafted in the first or second round in the next couple of years. I think I've gone all in on this kid. I pushed my chips to the center of the table. I'm all in, and I think he's going to go off next season.
Let's get to I probably talked to, I don't know, seven or eight people who cover the Ducks. I read a lot, listen to a bunch. I've noticed kind of a thread, almost a lot of optimism about what the offense can do. Even when they, had rough patches last year, they moved the ball, put up some points. Do you buy this theory that they need the defense to just not stink to be substantially better from, last year?
I do. I mean, had the defense last year ranked 70th or 80th, they would have been in a bowl game. I think that's a given. It was beyond bad. It was 41.7 points a game. I think it was allowed.
Ugh.
I mean, that's remarkable. really? It was an astounding number to have given up. If you cut that back down to even 28, which is not good, and the offense, I think, is going to score 40. It scored 39 last year with a freshman quarterback and four redshirt freshman offensive linemen and all these injuries and Freeman missed some games, et cetera, I think the offense is going to be there unless Taggart can't coach. And I think every sign points to that fact that he can coach and Crystal Ball can coach and Arroyo can coach. So I think they're going to put up points. So, yeah, I do believe that. I think if the defense can get down below 100 ranked or not, allow right around 30 a game even, I think they win 7-8 games. I really do.
All right. Let's wrap with this. NFL draft at the top of the hour. Your Bears go third. What's your level of engagement in this draft? And do you have a particular wish list at three for the Bears?
It's kind of crept up on me. I paid minimal attention to it. I told you, though, I'm back on the Bears bandwagon, not a Cutler's dog. So I'm relearning the roster. I used to name all 53 members of the roster every year for the previous 30 years until I got to the Cutler. So I'm relearning the Bears. I haven't paid attention to the last couple of years. And I'm going to watch this draft tonight, and I'm going to get excited about whoever they pick. I'm going to buy his rookie cards and try and have fun with it. But I really have no clue which way they're going to go. It sounds like defensive line or my fear is that they're going to pass on Deshaun Watson because they took Mike Glennon, and Deshaun Watson is going to be a phenom, and then I'm going to have to hurt somebody in Chicago in the next 5 years. That's my fear. So, no matter what they think, if they don't pick a quarterback, which I don't think they're going to because they got Glennon, I hope every quarterback in this draft sucks. Otherwise, it's going to be devastating.
All right. Well, it sounds like you're all in at least.
yep.
He's Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sportsnet, CSNNW.com online. Aaron J. Fentress on Twitter. Always appreciate the time. You travel safe to and from Autzen. And I guess I'll catch up with you Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see you Saturday, man.
All right.
Take care.
Take it easy, AF.